Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage. In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill
from the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hidden Killers podcast.
That it is. We're back in court on the 18th of April, 2023. Let's go to the first segment of coverage live from the courtroom in Boise, Idaho.
All right. We will go on the record. Case CR 22-21-1624, State versus Lori Noreen Vallow. This is jury trial scheduled today, continuing with the state's case in chief. Is the state going to be ready to proceed this morning?
Yes, Your Honor. Good morning.
Good morning. Is the defense ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
Very well. I'll note that all counsel is present. The defendant is present as well with her attorneys. Before we get started, I will reiterate there's a conduct order in effect in this case. The conduct order prevents any use of any device to record, photograph, or transmit sounds or images from the courtroom. I'll also note that the conduct order in paragraph 2D indicates any activity or behavior which is considered disruptive may result in removal from the courtroom. We're starting our proceedings late this morning because we do have a participant here that's caused a disruption in our courtroom proceedings based on their conduct. I've talked to the bailiffs about that. All right, thank you for sorting out that technical issue. I had a sidebar with counsel also with their observations, talked to courthouse security, and so I am going to request at this time that the bailiffs remove this person from the courtroom for the proceedings today based on their conduct. So I'm not going to name the individual by name, but I am going to require that they be removed from the proceedings today for disrupting the courtroom. So bailiffs, if you could please identify that person and have them exit the courtroom at this time, I'll enforce that term of the order. All right, I very much appreciate the bailiffs in maintaining courtroom order for this trial as it goes forward, and as they've done so up to this point, we'll continue to strictly enforce the courtroom conduct order. I also appreciate counsel advising the court of what was observed this morning, requiring that person in attendance to be excused. So with that in mind, we are ready to proceed with this. We'll have the jurors brought in, and then just to clarify with the state, is Ms. Pastenis going to be continuing on the stand this morning?
Yes, I believe we're in the defendant's cross, so she is in the witness room just waiting.
Okay, thank you for that, Ms. Smith. So let's have the jurors brought in, and then we'll continue with her testimony. All right, the court will note all jurors are here present and properly seated, and I believe each has signed the juror affirmation before coming back in today. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, thank you. Again, I appreciate very much your continued service in this case and your continued compliance with the admonishments that are given to you each day when you leave. I hope you had a good break over the weekend, and we're going to continue now with the cross-examination of this witness, Zulema Pastenis. Mr. Thomas, I believe, was conducting cross-examination when we broke last week, and I'll remind you, Ms. Pastenis, you are still under oath for your testimony. So with that in mind, Mr. Thomas, you can continue your cross.
Ms. Pastenis, how are you doing today? I'm fine.
Good.
Thank you.
Just a little bit of housekeeping. I wanted to know if over the weekend you were able to speak with the prosecution or anybody from the prosecution team?
No, sir.
Okay. Did you have a chance to review any of your notes or any of your files regarding your testimony?
No, sir.
Okay. When we were talking a little bit on Friday, we talked a little bit about a number of things. One thing that kind of bothered me over the weekend as I was going through the testimony, was your relationship with Alex. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. So you first started dating Alex on October 31st, 2019, is that right?
We went on a first date in August of 2019.
Okay. I believe you said, you testified that October 31st was the first time that you had went on a date with him, so apparently I'm mistaken. So tell me a little bit about what happened in August.
In August, we went out to dinner. What I testified for around that happened on August, on October 31st, mm-hmm. but that was the first time that we ever kissed or that we ever held hands.
Okay. So between August, going out to dinner, and October 31st, that was August of 2019, right?
Correct.
Okay. So how many times did you date between August and October 2019?
Just a couple times.
A couple more times between August, the first time you went to dinner, and the first time you kissed him was on October 31st?
Correct.
Okay. And had you talked on the phone with him between August and October 31st? Was that something that you guys did?
Yes.
Quite frequently or not really?
I wouldn't say quite frequently, but frequently.
Okay. And what kinds of things were you talking about?
We talked a lot about scriptures. We talked about talks that we had read. We talked about our families. We were just getting to know each other.
Just getting to know each other?
Yes.
Okay. And then between October 31st and, November the 7th, was the first time you kissed was October 31st, and then what happened in that week between October 31st and November 7th?
I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Okay. I was just going to try to clarify a little bit. Was there anything significant? Were you seeing each other every single day between October 31st and November 7th?
No, that would have been impossible because I was in Arizona and he was in Rexburg, Idaho.
Okay. And my understanding is that on November the 7th is when he presented you with an engagement ring. Is that right?
Correct.
And was that in Rexburg or was that in Arizona?
In Rexburg.
Okay. So you came up to see him on November the 7th?
Correct.
Okay. Were you there for that purpose or were you there for a conference or for some other purpose and you just happened to meet up with him?
No, I came specifically to spend time with him.
Okay. So he gives you an engagement ring. Had you guys talked before that time between the kissing a week earlier and getting the engagement ring? Did the two of you talk about the possibility of getting married?
Yes. Alex was very clear that he was looking for a relationship and he wanted to get married.
And when did that come up? How did that come about? When did that come up?
I'm pretty sure that he actually talked about it the first time we went out to dinner.
The first
he wanted to have a relationship and he wanted to um, he wanted to be married and he wanted a relationship.
Okay. And did that intrigue you? Did that frighten you? Was that kind of like awkward? What was that like?
I really don't remember if I had any reaction to what he was sharing.
Okay. What about on November 7th when he actually gave you the engagement ring? Were you, was that a surprise? Was this something that you had thought about, that he had thought about?
I was not surprised. He had told me that he was looking for a ring, and he had asked for my ring size. So I was not completely surprised that that was going to, that happened on that day.
And when did he ask you for your ring size?
I was about, it was during the few days before I came up to okay. Rexburg.
So sometime that first week of November?
Probably, yes.
Okay. And so then you got the ring. And how long did you spend in Rexburg? On the 7th, you were obviously there on the 7th. So what other days were you there? Do you remember?
It was also a short trip, so I think that it was only like 2 to 3 days.
Okay. And did you go back home to Arizona?
Yes.
And did Alex go back home to Arizona?
No, he stayed in Rexburg.
He stayed in Rexburg. And so when was the next time you saw him physically in person?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving? So that would have been around the 23rd, 24th, something like that?
I don't remember exactly the day, but it would have been around the end of November, yes.
Okay. And then you saw him that weekend for Thanksgiving for the whole weekend?
Yes, he stayed at my house.
Okay. And was that a, did he come up on a Wednesday for Thanksgiving Thursday, or when, do you recall when that was?
He came on Wednesday.
Okay. And did he stay through the weekend?
Yes.
Did he go back home after that?
No.
No. He stayed with you the whole time?
Yes.
Okay. So he comes up on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and then at some point you guys get married, right?
Correct.
And that was on December the 1st?
I don't want to give you the wrong date. But I believe it was that.
It was your wedding day. You remember your wedding day, right?
I wish I could tell you that I know exactly the date, but there has been so much trauma around that date and all of the events that happened during that time that at times it is very hard for me to remember certain things.
Okay. All right.
Especially the ones that I would like to forget.
Okay. And when you say you like to forget, that would be, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Is that the death of Alex?
That and among many others, yes.
Okay. What other things are traumatic with Alex during that time frame?
The fact that I went to work early on December 12th and Alex was fine, and when I came home, Alex was laying on the floor of my bathroom, dead. And then the paramedics came and they started working on him, and then they took him to the hospital, to the emergency room, and they worked on him for about an hour, and they brought me back into the room where he was connected to machines and they were doing CPR on him, and then after many efforts to revive him, I had to give the okay to have the machines turned off. That is very traumatic, sir.
Right, and I understand that, and I'm not trying to be callous or anything. And I said, other than the death of Alex Cox, was there anything else that was traumatic during that time? That's all I was getting at. Was there anything traumatic that happened to you between your wedding and your and when Alex passed away?
No, that I can recall.
Okay. So, you started dating in August, and he passed away in December. So, you've got some of August, September, October, November, and part of December. So, 3.5, maybe 4 months that you really knew him. Is that right?
That I knew him personally, yes. In that.
Okay. My question is, and my problem is that you made a statement to the prosecution that Alex would do anything for Lori, and you knew that with some sort of a surety. And so I guess my question is, how is it that you knew him between August and December, and you knew this much about him, and you didn't really spend that much time with him? So is it maybe possible that you didn't know him that well, and that maybe he wouldn't do anything for Lori?
I would have to disagree on that, and the reason why I have to disagree on that is because of the way that Alex expressed himself whenever he wanted to do something or make a decision on something. He felt that he always needed to have Lori and Chad's per se permission or okay. And to give you a couple examples of that would be when Chad told him in a blessing that he was going to be moving to Rexburg and that he would be one of the warriors in Rexburg. The following day, he took a plane and came back to Rexburg with Chad to immediately come and check out the area. And he eventually moved up here. The other significant reason why I say that is because after we got married, we were talking about how we were going to be living with her. I had already told him that I was not going to be moving to Rexburg and that my family, my work, my life was in Arizona. And he was at the time still had all his stuff and living in Rexburg. And so we were discussing on how we were going to, what we were going to do. And he said, well, before I make any decisions, I need to ask Chad and Lori what I should do.
So he was asking for some advice, right?
I would call it direction, sir.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and hand you what's been marked as defense exhibits A and B. The state has a copy, and this is a courtesy copy from the court.
I'm sorry, counsel, you did give us a copy. Which one you'd given them both?
A and B, yeah.
Okay.
Thank Can you identify what I just handed you?
It looks like there are copies of texts. Between Chad and me and the other one appears to be between Lori and I.
Mm-hmm. Do you recall testifying at the grand jury?
Yes.
Do you recall identifying these specific documents as being text messages between you and Chad and you and Lori?
Yeah, I believe so. Mm-hmm.
So they don't appear to be what they are. I mean, they are those text messages, right?
Okay, yes.
You previously identified them? Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So I'd like you to turn to Exhibit A, page number 17.
Judge, just for the record, can we have these identified in the date range? The state isn't going to object to their admission, but could we have a little bit more description of A and B on the record so that the witness and jurors know what she's looking at?
Yes, so for starters, Mr. Thomas, are you moving to admit A and B?
I am moving to admit A and B, Judge.
All right, they were
previously admitted in they were previously admitted in the grand jury.
And state's indicated no objection. Is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. So defendants Exhibit A and defendants Exhibit B are both admitted. And then Mr. Thomas, it's just a request to identify specifically where in the admitted exhibits you're going. So if you do that, please.
Sure. Ms. Pastinez, I'd like you to turn to Exhibit A, which is an extraction report, Cellbrite report. And I'd like you to turn to page 17. It would be item number 224. And I'd like for you to read for me and for the court what the text message says.
It says, "Hello, Chad. I had a conversation with my daughter, Kara, today, and it didn't go well. She doesn't want to go to Rexburg, and she feels like I'm abandoning her if I leave without her. I feel really bad right now. I had a prompting there other day to ask you if you could see who she was before in this life. She may be able to start seeing truth. I was told this week that I will go to Rexburg eventually, but not right now. So I just need to prepare for when that eventually is. Thank you for always being there for me. I'm so grateful for you."
And what was the response on number 225? This is Chad speaking to you, right?
"Thank you, Sulema. I will find out about Kara. I agree with you about Rexburg, not immediately, but eventually. I'm so grateful for you, too. Let's talk soon."
So in 224, you said, "I was told this week that I will go to Rexburg." Do you recall seeing that?
Eventually, but not right now.
Okay. I guess what I'm asking is, you're saying that Chad told you, and I'm asking who told you?
During this time, I was quite confused. I have to tell you the context of this, because otherwise it gets taken out of context.
That's what we're trying to do.
During this time, Lori and Chad were really pushing me to move to Rexburg, and they continued to do that throughout this whole entire time. Chad had even given me blessings, telling me that I needed to move to Rexburg. It didn't make sense to me to move to Rexburg since I didn't have anybody there. No, didn't have my life, my job, my family was not there. And they continued to push me. And I really, really trusted these people. I trusted that they said that they were the, who they said they were. Chad said that he didn't have a veil, that he could see to the other side, and that he was constantly being guided by angels and by other heavenly beings. Lori had said that she had conversations with Jesus Christ. I trusted them. It was very hard for me during this time, and I was very confused. So I started praying and asking if I could have an answer of myself of what I needed to do. And during one time when I was praying, I heard this exactly how it is here. You will go to Rexford eventually, but not right now. And I knew that that was my answer. That eventually could have been any other time, but not at that time.
So it wasn't Chad pushing you, and it wasn't Lori pushing you. It
was Lord, they were, sir.
It was the Lord telling you, right? You prayed about it, and this was your answer?
I'm going to repeat that.
Just yes or no. Yes or no.
Judge, I'm going to object. If you would allow the witness to answer, she's trying to answer his question, but he cuts her off.
Well, in that aspect, it was a yes or no direct leading question or a leading question, so you can re-ask your question if you want, and the witness doesn't necessarily get to go into further detail if it's just a yes or no question.
So yes or no, did you pray about it?
Yes.
And yes or no, did the Lord tell you that you would eventually go to Rexford?
Yes, but not right now.
Okay. So it wasn't Chad and Lori who were pushing you to go to Rexburg?
Yes, sir, they were.
Okay.
And every blessing they gave me.
Apparently we're going to have to do this a different way. All right, let's turn to page 1 of Exhibit 59.
Defendant's Exhibit A, right here.
I'm sorry.
Your Honor.
Defendant's Exhibit A.
Just making sure.
Apologize. Yep.
Thanks.
And I'd like you to read line or item number 5. Out loud, please.
I woke up this morning and the first thing I heard was, I have made you mine, and it was a man's voice.
So for our court reporter, if you can read a little more slowly on those texts, please, that'll help the record stay clear. Thank you.
I woke up this morning and the first thing I heard was, I have made you mine, and it was a man's voice, not my voice. I believe I'm on the right path and I'm getting closer. I feel so much better today than in the past week. So all you did for me worked. I'm starting to feel myself again.
And this is from you to Chad, is that correct?
Correct.
All right. Now please turn to page 5. Item number 57. This is you talking to Chad again, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Can you read item number 57?
I have a couple of questions for you. Do I have a calling and election made sure? Will I have a calling and election made sure? Will I have a second comforter? Do I look after these things? And ... how will I know when and how to go to the temple when the call out happens?
Okay. And that text message was on January 24th, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then you sent him another message a minute later, starting with the Lord has placed a new yearning, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you go ahead and read that one?
The Lord has placed a new yearning in my heart. It's so beautiful. I only want to read, study, learn, go to the temple and serve him. I'm really leaving the world behind. He's telling me there is no time. He's telling me there is no time for anything else. So I have questions come up as I study and go to the temple.
Okay. And that's you talking to Chad, and then Chad answers you. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that is a couple of hours later. And what does he say to you? Can you read that?
I am so excited for you, Sulema. You're on the right path. As a multiple creation person, you have already received your calling and election, as well as the second comforter. I know you have a close relationship with the Savior, and that's what those really mean. Don't worry, you will know when to gather. I actually feel you'll be among the first people to gather to the safest white camps. You're part of the team! Exclamation mark.
Okay. And this next one, number 60, is you responding to that. Can you read that?
I just got chills all over my body reading your text. That's the reason why the voice came to me saying, I have made you mine, because he already had! Exclamation mark. Or, oh, it's so amazing! Exclamation mark! Exclamation mark!
So when you're talking about I have made you mine, that's what you just talked about earlier. Is that right? When you woke up in the morning and he said, a male voice said, I have made you mine.
Correct.
Okay, so you're talking about the Lord talking to you directly.
Yes.
Okay. Were there times when you called Chad or called on Chad to heal you from some pain or some spiritual binding or something to that effect?
Yes.
Okay. And was one of those times right around Christmas, right after Christmas 2018, when you had a shoulder issue? Do you recall that?
No, I don't recall that.
Okay. Would you please turn to page 3? That would be item number 23. Should be the top of the page.
Yes.
Can you go ahead and read that? That's you talking to Chad, right? Or you texting Chad.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Merry Christmas! Exclamation mark. I hope you had a beautiful time with your family. Could you tell me if I have weapons on my back? I think I'm being attacked again.
Okay. What did you mean by that?
Lori and Chad always taught that when you had any kind of physical pain or any emotional thing like depression or anything like that happening with you, that it was usually it was attack from the dark side, and that it was usually evil spirits attacking your body or your emotions.
And did you believe that?
I did.
And this particular occasion, you felt like you were having some sort of attack from the demons in your back?
Yes.
Okay. And did this resolve on its own, or did Chad do something to resolve that for you spiritually?
I don't recall this, so.
Let's keep reading.
Okay.
Let's do number 24 on that same page, page 3. Go ahead.
Hi, Sulema. I have captured and sealed away the evil spirits that were attacking you, and I have removed the weapons from you. I am healing the damage.
Okay. And did you feel like that actually worked, or do you think that that was just hocus pocus?
There were times when Chad would say that he was doing some kind of energy work or some kind of taking all those spirits away, that I would actually feel better afterwards.
And this was one of those times, right?
Like I said, I don't recall this this conversation. So,
okay, let's read
possible.
Let's read number 27 on that same page. This is you talking to Chad on a text.
Okay. Oh my goodness, I can move my shoulder blade now! Thank you!
Okay. And the first text was at 9:06 p.m. Correct?
Correct.
And the text that you said you could now move your shoulder blade was at 9:22 p.m., correct?
Correct.
Okay. So, in that 15-minute span, you feel like you were healed?
I felt better, apparently, yes.
Okay. Did Chad or Lori ever tell you to hurt anyone spiritually?
No.
Okay. Your work was always for the good, for light, right?
At the time, I believed it to be so, sir, yes.
But somehow, after that time, you now believe that you were working for the dark side or for darkness or evil?
At the time, I believed that we were doing something good to help get rid of darkness, and it was spirits off of the earth. Now I believe that the intentions were different and very evil.
So your intentions were different and very evil?
No, sir. I believe that Chad and Lori's intentions were very evil.
In telling you that they loved you, that you were doing such a great job, that you were turning away these evil spirits, those kinds of things?
No, sir. I don't believe that those things that they were saying were evil. Manipulative, most definitely. But those things were not evil. The result of all of this was, yes.
And we'll get into the result a little bit later. Let's move on to page number 9, item number 108. This was you texting Chad. Can you read that for me?
Hi, Chad. How are you? I wanted to tell you I've been given a new weapon of light fire. I'm practicing and using it. I used it this weekend quite a bit to heal the girls when they were attacked. I was attacked a lot this weekend. A lot, exclamation mark. I'm using the fire to heal me, but I still feel my body in pain and worn out. Can you please do some healing on me?
So tell me what light fire is.
I'm trying to find the words to explain that. It is like, it is like imagining in your mind and with the intention of having a very, like a light aura, that perhaps has some fire around it, and putting it around somebody or some kind of wound to help it heal.
So light fire is a healing weapon that you had?
At that time, yes.
Okay. And who gave you that healing weapon?
I don't remember. I don't recall. I don't even recall this conversation. I'm sorry.
Do you ever recall using light fire?
Yes, I do, sir.
Okay. And you always used it for good?
Correct.
And you always used it for healing purposes?
For healing purposes and during the castings as well.
And during the castings out of evil spirits?
Correct.
Okay. This weekend, my team and I were talking a little bit about your testimony, and there was some debate as to whether or not...
Objection to the commentary, Your Honor.
I'll sustain that.
Okay. Do you have a portal in your home?
No, sir.
Have you ever had a portal in your home?
No, sir.
Okay. Can you please turn to page 10? Item number 126. This is you speaking to Chad or texting Chad. Is that right?
Yes.
And what's the date on that?
April 8th, 2019.
Can you read that for me?
I would love that. I want to see if you could help me create a portal at home to get answers at.
Okay. So do you recall asking Chad about how to make a portal or how to help you create a portal at home?
I don't recall saying that, but it's there, so yes, I did ask him.
So you asked, but you never had a portal at your house?
No.
Okay. You recall doing some castings out of demons with Lori and some of the other women that were in your small group, correct?
Correct.
And one of those castings out was a demon by the name of Garrett. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And you didn't cast him out by yourself. There were some other people in that particular prayer meeting. Is that right?
Correct.
You specifically asked that this demon be released from its host or its body, right?
Correct.
And did that actually happen?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No. And the reason why I say that is because Lori always had to check with Chad to ask if it had been done correctly or not. And then she would say, yes, it was done, or no, it was not done. But it wouldn't be something that I would know whether it was done or not. So we would get confirmation from Chad.
And did you get confirmation from Chad that this entity had left Charles Vallow?
Yes.
Okay. And so that was a successful casting?
According to them, yes.
Well, what about according to you?
I didn't know whether it was done correctly or effectively, or if we had cast out a evil spirit or a demon. I only had faith that they were telling us the truth.
So you never had faith that any of your castings had ever actually come true? You never knew with a surety, I guess.
Objection. Can the witness be allowed to answer?
Yeah, I will sustain that. She was in the middle of an answer, Mr. Thomas.
Okay.
I personally didn't have a confirmation that those evil spirits or demons were cast out. I trusted and believed what Lori and Chad were saying that had happened as a result.
Okay. And then this particular demon left Charles Vallow, and there was another demon that went into Charles Vallow. Is that right?
That's what Lori and Chad said, yes.
But you didn't think this was true?
I believed what they said, yes.
Okay. So you thought that another demon was in Charles as well?
Yes, I believed them.
Okay. And Charles passed away on what day? Do you recall?
July 11th.
Okay. And that was in 2019?
Yes.
Do you recall what you were doing that day in the morning?
I was at temple.
You were at the temple? Okay. Can you turn to page 5 of exhibit number, or exhibit B? Can you turn to number 69 and 70, and can you read those?
I'm on my way to the temple. I'll be in the celestial room.
So 69 is I'm on my way to the temple, and 70 is I'll be in the celestial room, correct?
Correct.
Do you recall what you were doing?
Objection, Your Honor. Can we just have the, since we switched exhibits, can we have the to and from, in, so that puts these in context, please.
With switching exhibits, I do think, indicate who these communications involve.
Okay. Exhibit B is an extraction report. If you'll turn to the front page, is that correct? To the front page one?
Yes.
And the participants are 564... 806-929-562. Is that your number? Is that your phone number? Or was that your phone number?
Those are Lori's numbers.
Oh, those are both Lori's numbers?
Correct.
Okay. So this is you talking to Lori. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So 69, you're talking to Lori, right? And you say, I'm on my way to the temple? On page 5?
Correct.
Okay. And on on number 70, page 5, you say, I'll be in the celestial room?
Correct.
Okay. And then number 71, would you read that for me?
As I was working on Hyplos today in the temple, I was told he will be taken as he is. I don't know what that means. Then I was shown to only put light, the brightest light, from the top and the bottom at the same time, meaning in the middle. So I've been doing that all day. 7-Eleven, I hope today is a good day for all of this to end.
Okay. So You were in the temple. You went into the temple sometime shortly before 9 a.m. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And you're not, are you allowed to bring your phone into any of the rooms in the temple?
No.
Okay. So you didn't have your phone between, say, 8:54 when you first texted that and 11:30, that's a long time. So between 8:54, how long were you at the temple that day? Do you recall?
I don't remember how long I was there.
Okay. And so you specifically recall that you were at the temple and that this specific thing happened to you?
Yes, I remember this.
Okay. And this was when you were casting out Hiplos?
Yes, sir. I was supposed to meet Lori at the temple that day. And we were supposed to be working on Hiplos together. And she didn't come.
Okay. But you had an experience where you did some casting out of Hiplos in the celestial room of the temple. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Was there a time, and I specifically don't have this, it wasn't attached to the grand jury exhibit, but was there a time that you had an experience in the temple where you went to the Phoenix Temple in the celestial room and some heavenly beings showed up? Do you recall that?
Yes, I do.
This is something you won't soon forget, right? I mean, it's pretty spiritual.
Yes.
Pretty powerful.
Yes.
You said the Heavenly Father was there?
Yes, I believe so.
And Heavenly Mother was there?
I believe so.
And Jesus was there?
Yes.
And your eternal husband was there?
Yes.
And who was that?
I couldn't see who was.
Do you recall what happened on that day?
No, sir.
You remember that you saw Heavenly Father, Heavenly Mother, Jesus in the temple, but you don't know what happened? I'll withdraw the question, Judge. No further questions.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Thomas. Let's get the exhibits, and then if there's redirect, Ms. Smith. Thank you.
I proceed, Your Honor?
You may.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. Do you need a minute? Or are you? Can we proceed?
We can proceed.
Okay. On cross, Mr. Thomas asked you and questions about your view on people. And you said on cross that you try to look for the good in people. Did I hear that right?
Correct.
Okay. And in part of looking for the good in people, that's based in your personal faith and your beliefs as a member of the Church of Latter-day Saints, right?
Yes.
Okay. And so in answering his questions, a lot of your questions were about trying to see Lori as you started out trying to see Lori as a good person and a person of faith like yourself.
Correct.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about that. Let's talk, we'll turn to Defendant's Exhibits A and Defendant's Exhibits B. So the exhibit the defense counsel admitted, Exhibit B, is a cell phone extraction of your cell phone because you allowed law enforcement to take your phone and to, you know, dump or download your phone, right?
Correct.
Okay. And that they took out the phone numbers and some of the texts that you between you and Lori, right?
Correct.
Okay. And on this exhibit, there are two phone numbers that Lori would text you from that aren't just in this exhibit, right?
Correct.
Okay. And can you just read those numbers into the record so that we have them for future use? It's the numbers where it says participants.
Yes. 56480-692-9562.
Okay. And the second one?
1-480-692-9562.
Okay. And these are text messages that only go from in Exhibit B, where you just read those phone numbers, from February 5th of 2019 to August 30th of 2019. If you want to look at the first page and page 20.
That is correct.
Okay. So there'd been text and communications before that, right?
Yes.
And there were text and communications after August, right?
Correct.
But these text and communications for Lori were fairly, with Lori, were very typical of your conversations with her, weren't they?
Yes.
Okay. In fact, in Exhibit B, at least 14 times, Lori calls you a goddess or a powerful being or special.
Yes.
And she also would talk about your powers and your ability to influence the elements, wouldn't she?
Yes.
Okay. And so these texts, that's what she would say in text. Would she say similar things to you personally in conversations?
Yes.
Did she tell you you were special?
She said that I was very special, that my mission was the most important one, and that they always were looking out for me because my mission was the most important one.
And did she just say that once, or did she say that more than once?
Several times.
Okay. Over the course of, you know, the year and a half, you were friends with her.
Correct.
Okay. And Chad, he would call you a goddess.
Yes.
In fact, he in one of the texts, he called you a goddess of the earth.
Correct.
And he, in his communications with you, he would regularly tell you how special you were, right?
Yes, all the time.
And he, in his texts and his calls with you, he let you know that you had a special mission to fulfill, right?
Yes, yes.
And that special mission was a mission that he identified for you, right?
Yes.
And that special mission he gave you, he and Lori would reiterate in text and email and phone calls about how special you were and how special your powers were, right?
Yes.
And how did that make you respond when they constantly let you know how special you were? They constantly drew on faith and your belief How did you feel?
It made me feel very good and very special. I started to really believe it.
Okay. And so they would have these conversations with you, and they would make you feel this way. And did you feel empowered?
Objection leading, yes. Judge.
Well, it's asked already, it's been responded to, but it is leading.
Understand. I'll slow it down. My question is, if Chad and Lori made you feel special and empowered, did you ever see that they did the same thing with other people?
Yes, they did the same with other people as well.
Okay. What about Alex? Did you see the same sort of pattern happen with Alex?
Yeah.
Can you give us an example of how they made Alex feel empowered and special?
They told him that Alex had been the angel that had come to Saul before he became Paul, and he was the one that had talked to him and made him blind, and at that time, so that he would mend his ways and become a follower of Jesus Christ. They also told him that he had been an angel before, and that he was an angel that had appeared to Joseph Smith. And they told him that he had been in other creations. He had been exalted with his wife. His wife's name was Holly, and that he had been a very powerful warrior, and that he had unmasked Satan in another creation, and that is the reason why Satan had so much animosity towards him.
So let me ask you, you had multiple conversations with Alex. Did Alex believe what Lori and Chad told him about his power from his previous lives?
Yes, he believed it.
In fact, if I remember some other evidence correctly, did Alex, after hearing about the need to move to Rexburg, quit his job?
Yes, he quit his job and he moved to Rexburg.
Okay, he sold items, and that was at the direction of Lori and the direction of Chad.
Yes, they gave him a blessing and told him to move to Rexburg.
So make sure I understand, he quit his job and moved to Rexburg.
Yes, he even left a lot of his belongings in his house, and he broke his lease and moved to Rexburg.
Okay. And one of his, do I have this right? One of his primary missions was to protect Lori? Is that correct?
Chad and Lori were telling him that the only reason why he had come to Earth in this time was the sole purpose was to protect Lori.
So each time the group did a casting, and I want to make sure, the castings weren't a prayer group, were they?
Yes, some of them were.
Okay. And the castings themselves, were they part of a prayer service, or did they have another added element?
There was added elements to it.
Okay. We've heard a lot about it, so I'm not going to go down there. But I guess my question is, each time that there was a casting done on the demon or the dark spirit that was in Charles Vallow, did each dark spirit, according to Lori, what she told you, each time that a dark spirit entered Charles, did that dark spirit get stronger?
Judge, again, she's leading it, and she's
trying to transition. I'll move quickly.
It's sustained. It's leading.
Okay. All right. Can you tell me, did the strength of the spirit that entered Charles Vallow each time after a casting? Did it increase or decrease?
Again, Judge, this is leading.
Overruled that time.
Thank you.
Lori has said that the first one had just followed him for a couple years and knew everything about him. The second one was a very powerful one that had been around for hundreds of years and had done that very many times. And then by the time we got to Hyblos, Hyblos was a very powerful, extremely powerful demon, and this one was almost impossible to cast out because he was so experienced and so powerful.
Okay. And so in order for a body, not a person, not to be possessed again by another dark spirit, the body had to be destroyed. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And Alex believed that?
Alex believed everything they told him.
Thank you. I have nothing further.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Smith.
That concludes segment number one. There is much more to come in one of the most dramatic days of testimony so far. Press subscribe so you don't miss a moment of it. Hear from the Hidden Killers podcast.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill.
From the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hidden Killers podcast.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.